Good morning.
How are you? It's great to be back. I know I'm among family here, and I want to think about the Old Testament scriptures for a few minutes. And remember in Romans chapter 15, I do believe it is, it says, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So I'd like to set the scene of the camp presentation in the backdrop of scripture and that structure. And hopefully as we go through Ezra chapter 7, so if you want to take your Bibles and kind of look at Ezra chapter 7 with me, hopefully as we go through there, you'll be able to see where I'm kind of going with God's work at Morningstar and God's work in general. There's quite a bit of encouragement we can take from the Old Testament, especially one of my favorite passages in the periods of time of the nation of Israel was when they came back from Babylon. God miraculously brought them back to the land. And the work of Zerubbabel, and when they built the temple, they rebuilt the temple after it was destroyed. And then another wave of people came back with Ezra, and they spiritually encouraged the people. And then another wave came back to the land with Nehemiah, and they built the wall. We can be encouraged in the work of God through those faithful men and undoubtedly women in that time. So let's just pray, and I'll turn to Ezra 7 as well. Our God and Father, we're thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again, where we can have eternal life. We're thankful that it's not about bettering ourselves or trying to be better, but Lord, you died for us and therefore we're all dead. The old man is crucified with him. We're dead. But you rose and so we rose. You've given us new life. We're a new creature in Christ, new creation, and we're born again as we've been reminded to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we wait until your coming, we pray we'd be found faithful. We pray that those that are in the crossroads of life, that they would make a choice to trust in you, to put their neck on the line and have faith in God and in the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we pray for your mighty working this morning. I pray that this morning that lives would be affected for eternity. We pray for your word to penetrate our hearts. We pray that we'd be changed. So we're thankful in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. So as we go to Ezra 7, just the left and right button there. It says that after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of, I'm going to skip down to the end of verse 5, says Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. So as we see right there, we see that Ezra was of the line of Aaron. He was a Levite. He was the high priest. And forgive me if I don't have all my facts 100%, but you have to search the scriptures yourself. But he was a Levite, and it says that in verse 6 that he came up from Babylon and that he obeyed God. He obeyed God's call to go from Babylon to fulfill his job in Israel. And that's a lesson that we can learn, that he did what God wanted him to do. And as a Levite, it would have been tough, probably would have been tough to go back, because as you go back to the land, the Levites didn't have an inheritance. And perhaps in Babylon, he could have a piece of land. Perhaps they were living in the comforts of Babylon. So they would have to forsake that to go back, go to Israel, to serve the Lord. And in chapter 8, we read about how that there was a shortage of Levites. In chapter 8, we'll just turn the page over to verse 15, it says, Ezra says, he's talking about his trip. He says, "Now I gathered by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. And I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of Levi there. Then I sent for Eliezer, Ariel, and men of understanding." Verse 17, "I gave them a command and that they should bring us servants for the house of our God." And verse 18, "Then by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding." I was skipping down a few there for the sake of time, but there was a shortage of Levites, and there was a call that went out. We got to bring some Levites. These are the people that were going to serve in the temple. And so there was a call that went out, and then the Levites, some of them responded, and because God's gracious hand was upon them. So Ezra obeyed, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. He knew God's word. He didn't take it for granted. It says, which the God of Israel had given. God had given us his word. And we need not to take this for granted. And so often we do. We put other things before his word. It's God's word. And to take instruction, and believe me, this is much of speaking to myself than anything, but to forsake other things and to focus on hearing from the Lord. And so didn't take it for granted. And he was rightly dividing the word of truth. And it says the king granted him all his requests according to the good hand of his God upon him. And I'm wondering this morning, as we go through 2018, are you living with God's good hand upon your life? Is in the blessing of God as you're making your day-to-day decisions, is God's good hand upon you? Anyway, that's available for us all, for every believer in the Lord Jesus, is to have God's hand upon you, living in the blessing of God. It doesn't mean your life is going to be easy, but it means that even in hard times, you're going to be blessed and just have a deep relationship with the Lord. God was very gracious to Ezra, and God really did a mighty work. As we talk about verses 7 and 8 and 9, it speaks about that it just took 4 months from the trip from Babylon, from Ezra was to go to Jerusalem. And something interesting happened during that trip. And that experience is in chapter 8. It's recorded. So as he starts his trip, in verse 21, Ezra said he proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him the right way for us and for our little ones and our possessions. That's a little reminder for seeking the Lord in prayer. And as we talked about the week of prayer, and again, we're trying to do a satellite location at Morningstar Bible Camp because I know that it's important, and I don't really want to make the trip to Kansas, and I feel that there's no reason why we can't just do it at home. And so we're trying to do that there. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying, by the grace of God, to lead spiritually and knowing that prayer is important. So don't feel like, if you don't know how to pray or it's a stretch for you, we're just in the same boat. And so we're going to copy the schedule that they've done in Kansas to really just try and seek the Lord, pray for the camp. That's a little of a side, but something that happened on this journey is that he said he was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help against the enemy on the road. Because we had spoken to the king, saying, "The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him." So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. So we see that he was ashamed to request an escort of soldiers, and no doubt because God's good hand was upon him. If whatever the Ezra wanted, and he was granted, the king was very favorable. If Ezra asked for an escort of soldiers to protect them along the way, no doubt the king would have given them a lot of protection. But Ezra said to the king that God's hand was upon them and God was going to protect them on their journey. And so why would he need an escort of soldiers if God was with them? And so he was ashamed to request this of the king. And, you know, he really put his neck on the line for God's holy name and to put God's reputation on the line. He said he was going to trust God, and he really took a step of faith. And no doubt, we'll read a little bit about all the money that he took on the journey. I don't know how much it was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the millions. But it would have been easy pickings for 4 months' travel for robbers. But God's gracious hand was upon them, and God did come through. And so that's the point, is that we can trust God, and God will come through. Amen. You can put your neck on the line for God, and God will never disappoint you when you trust in him. In verse 10, it says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. He sought to seek the law, to do it, and to teach. There's no greater teacher than actually doing and living by example. In verses 11 to the end, it says, verses 11 to verses 26, that whole section there is a letter from Artaxerxes to Ezra. It says, this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest. So this is the actual copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest for his journey. And it describes Ezra again, the priest, the scribe, expert in the commandments of the Lord and in the statutes in Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of heaven, perfect peace and so forth. I issue a decree that all those people in Israel and the priests and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. Highlight that word, volunteer. And whereas you are being sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire regarding Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. First priority was a spiritual priority, spiritual responsibility, that everything was going to be done according to God's instruction. That's first and foremost the most important. And then verse 15 talks about financial responsibility. Whereas you are to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem. And whereas all the silver and gold that you may find in all the province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and the priests, are to be freely offered for the house of their God in Jerusalem. Now therefore be careful to buy with this money bull, rams, lambs, with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, to offer them on the altar of the house of your God in Jerusalem. We're talking about the Old Testament here, so we can't really necessarily apply all these things to our life today. We realize that in the Old Testament, it was under a different dispensation. God dealt with mankind in a different way during that time. And if you want to know more about dispensations, I do. That Digging Deeper conference is coming up. Randy Amos is going to explain that to us. But the work of God here is the point here. This was God's working in his people, and today God is working in his people, in the church. And God is working among you. God is working in your life personally. God is working in you, in the local church collectively, in the universal church. The Lord is going to build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's God's work. And it goes on in verse 18. I was encouraged by the verses that I read too, because it says that all the gold that you have in the province of Babylon, it's all just available to you, Ezra. And that's encouragement to me that God is going to supply the needs for his work. And it's God's work. He will supply. And whatever is God's is available to us in God's work. So we shall not lack anything. We may want a certain thing, but is that really God's work? God will provide. And it's just a fantastic lesson. It says, be careful. And so there's a certain level of diligence that needs to be involved here. In verse 18, there's a level of trust too. And whatever seems good to you and to your brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, do it according to the will of your God. No, not to, the king didn't want to really micromanage the Ezra and the, what God wanted. Just take what you need and get it done. And according to the articles that are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem, and whatever more you may be needed for the house of your God, which you may have occasion to provide, pay for it out of the king's treasury. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are beyond the region of the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, may require of you, let it be done diligently, up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil and salt without prescribed limit. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it diligently be done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the son and the king and his sons? He recognized that this is a work of God, and he didn't want to come in the way of God's work, so he erred on the side of generosity. More, no doubt he had like a lot to offer, and he didn't want any come in the way of God's work. And that just is a question that came into my mind, is are we hindering God's work? Are we putting something in the way? Also, inform you that there shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, custom on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nephilim, or servants of the house of this God. And this speaks of the blessing of being involved in God's work. That those that are really involved in the trenches, in the really actively in their lives, there's a certain blessing involved in serving the Lord. And to you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river, and such as know the laws of your God, and teach those who do not know them. And when I was reading through this, I was trying to figure out job descriptions for people and at camp. So I'm like, this is so cool, like that to kind of delegate God for according to God's given God's wisdom. And whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of your king, let judgment be executed speedily on them, whether it be by death or banishment, confiscation of goods, or imprisonment. There's a certain level of seriousness when it comes to sin and to have it judged. And in verse 27, it switches here, the letter's over, and Ezra just praises the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this into the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and has extended mercy to me before all the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. So I was encouraged, as the hand of the Lord my God is upon me, and I gathered leading men of Israel to go up with me. Father in heaven, I just want to pray again and ask your blessing. I pray that the transition between the scripture and the camp presentation, that it would be harmonious somehow, that you would be able to link things up. I pray that you'd be exalted in the work that you're doing at Morningstar. And thank you again for this little group, for your people here. And I pray again your blessing on each one. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this is the part where the transition happens for the presentation. And thank you very much for the TV in the back, holding forth the word of life. So the presentation overview, this is so we don't lose you on the way. And I can see you if you're nodding off. There's a lot of information to take in. I will have brochures available, so you don't need to necessarily take down the dates on certain things. And a little thing on discipleship training program. So those are going to be available to you after. So the presentation goes like this. We're going to talk about the purpose of camp and how we live it out. And then a little review of last year. Discipleship training program. We're going to look at the upcoming season and your involvement. 2018 projects, prayer and support, and the staff. The majority of people saved in North America are saved at camps. The majority of people that are saved and go on long term in the work of God are saved at camps. And you're well aware of this. I know that you love camps. You love Bible camps, and that's fantastic. And That's why we are involved in Bible camps. See souls saved, souls discipled. The mission statement is this: in a Christ-centered, wholesome, safe, and fun-filled Christian camping environment, we will present the gospel of Jesus Christ to children, teens, and adults. We will encourage Christian growth through Bible teaching, personal example, and service. Living out that mission statement and purpose is to serve as an extension of the supporting churches. And that is, let me explain, is that it's evangelism work. And so the supporting assemblies, this is the work of the assemblies. The assemblies, of course, that are from the local ones, Kelowna Bible Chapel, West Bank Bible Chapel, they benefit the most of being so closely located. We're a work of the local church. And we should be encouraged that the evangelism is thriving. There's great work of evangelism happening. To share the gospel with others, encourage the development of spiritual gifts, and help the local church fulfill the Great Commission. We know, Lord Jesus, to let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's well recognized that it's a good work and going alongside with the sharing the gospel. It helps the seed get into the heart. One of the reasons why I think the Bible camp is really so effective in sharing the gospel and that people get saved there is because all the sacrifice involved and all the love poured out on the children and to each other. Is that, remember the Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians that they did not just share the word only, but they shared their own souls, their own lives. And one of the first things I tell the children that come is that, you know, look around you, all the leaders, all the cooks, nobody's getting paid. They're all just here, they're giving. Actually, they didn't just not getting paid, but they're actually sacrificing to be here because they love you. They're giving of themselves, and they see that. The children recognize that, and they really respond to that. It's not just a word that we're giving when we're not prepared to give ourselves when we share the word. And we do that. We do. I know you do. Look back at 2017. We were very encouraged. The 57% increase of campers from 492 to 710. Most of that was because we added camps. Because we live there and we see opportunity. The only limit of the work there at Morningstar is our imagination. It's unending. The 3-day camps were added, as I mentioned. And in 2017, we brought on an activities coordinator because we recognized that the camp needs to be fun for the children to come so they can hear the gospel. Cody and Kendra Lees, and they welcomed baby Sadie. In 2017, we're just wrapping up the skating rink in the winter, so that was fantastic. We had 4 really great weeks of skating, and a lot of people from the neighborhood were coming out. 7 roofs were reshingled. We did chapel renovations, upper field, worked on the drainage, Quonset relocation. There's a picture here of Ron Pizerski working his excavator. And just a little, want to make a little mention of Ron Pizerski. And, you know, so many laborers over the years, and we mentioned waves in Ezra and how Nehemiah or Zerubbabel started the foundation, and then by the time Ezra came, that was about 60 years after Zerubbabel and Jeshua rebuilt the temple. There was a long period of time, and Ezra was really entering into the labor of the generation before, and that's what the Jesus was saying in John chapter 4, is that some sow and some reap, and others have sowed, but you're reaping the benefit. Something like that. You know what I'm getting at? And so right now, we're reaping the benefit of the generation before that has invested so much, so many years. 62 years of Morningstar's Bible camp. And when I come to camp and there's the buildings, most of the physical property is already there. All the buildings are kind of set, more or less. And we're just entering into all the benefits of all the heart, like blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out into that camp. And so hopefully that we're not only just reaping the benefit, but we're sowing also for the next generation as well. And so Ron Pazurski, I'm just really thankful for his dedication and service over the years there. And he's still helping. Storage area was relocated. Quonset was moved and was just reorganized. So some of the stuff's happened. Caretaker's house was renovated. We mentioned that last year. And you're wondering why my father-in-law, Grant, took so long. Is that he had Maxie Boy as a little apprentice. Oh, that's a picture of before. And the place was really in rough shape, but now it's a really nice, comfortable place for us to live. And so that's a picture of that. It's beautiful. There's a lot of hospitality happens. You notice the gas double oven there. Men, get your wife a double oven. So just highly recommend it. If you can, I got one used. We fixed it up. We think we spent $700 on the, I think they're normally at $2,000. So the Lord really blessed, given our heart's desire for that. Okay, moving on. This is another section of the 2018 camps and discipleship training program. I'm really excited about this. This is what I'm going to be mostly heavily involved with. I'm really excited about this, and this is going to be like I couldn't call it like an LIT because there's something already happening, an LIT program at camp, and I didn't want it to be confusion. And so this is my core staff that's going to help run the camp, going to help do the back-end stuff like dishes, janitorial, help run all the camp-provided activities, and just lend a hand. Discipleship training program. The goal is to provide work experience, equip with solid Bible teaching, provide opportunities to practical servanthood, train in New Testament church principles, train in evangelism, and ultimately the goal of becoming more Christ-like. Daniel and Priscilla, Daniel led the spiritual aspect last year, and this year Trevor Kampstra is going to lead for July, and then my father-in-law Grant's going to lead for August. The job description: maintain health and safety standards, training leadership, maintenance tasks, janitorial and dish duties, lend a hand when needed, and get me coffee when I look like this. Bob Brennan says that there's no furrowed, he got this from somebody, but probably there's no furrowed brows in heaven. And I'm trying to practice that a little bit better. It's you often see me with that expression there. Are you interested in joining the team? If you come for 2 weeks, basically I need 32 14 to 18 year olds for the whole summer to cover the summer. Develop leadership skills, desire to mature in your walk with God. And it's fun. No doubt you'll have a great time. And so to apply online or speak to me. The camps and special events. One of the most popular camps is our day camps. There's, again, 5 year-round. And there's a shuttle bus. And we offer a free bus from the camp to the Kelowna Bible Chapel. This is about a half an hour drive from the other side of the bridge. And so now, because of the free bus, we can reach that whole side of the lake. And it's easy for the parents to drop them off at the Kelowna Bible Chapel, and we'll bus them up to and from camp every day. That's really fantastic for the spring camp we have next week. It's like 40 children. Half the camp is coming from Kelowna, which is really fantastic. So these are some of the day camps that are happening. We have the winter camp. The spring camp is March 19th, first week of spring break. Some of you are coming. Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming. And there's three day camps. The July, and then two other day camps in August. Overnight camps. Boys camp overnight. Girls camp overnight. These are week-long camps. There's teens camp. Adult camp. It used to be called senior camp, but now it's just adult camp. All adults welcome. Just want to see people be encouraged in the Lord. And Gary Henderson's coming back. He's a cowboy preacher from Alberta. And so we're really looking forward to the adult camp. So all adults welcome, and just a really good time. And family camps as well. First family and second family. Want to make a mention that there's still a need of a director for first family. I've kind of got some feelers out there. I really haven't got a solid commitment from anybody. And there's actually other director needs as well. So pray about that. Really would like that. It's essential that the directors come from the assemblies. And so that's the most important. The workers, not so much, but we really want the people that come to camp to be encouraged to come to fellowship with us. And then we can invest in their lives that way. So two family camps and Bula Lake camps. So this is our outdoor adventure camp. This is where in the mountains. There's a property at Bula Lake in where there's no cell phone reception. There's Boys Encounter Camp. It's July 4th to 7th. And then Outdoor Girls. And so people are always wondering, what's Bula Lake like? Is it really rough in it? Well, not so much. Actually, it's quite developed. Like this is the bus, picture of Alex taking the bus, and then that's the dining room with the fire pit and kitchen. And so the chapel happens in the dining room as well. And so this is chapel time. You notice the fishing rods. The cabins, they're really nice. The bunks, and then... I encourage you to come out to that. Some special events. Please take mention of these. Ladies, the Women in the Word Conference with Natty and Mikhail, April 20th to 22nd. All these events are by donation, so just come. We just want to see you there. Okanagan Valley Spring Conference. Warren Henderson, you know, is coming up in May for that. Digging Deeper Men's Conference. Again, Randy Amos, Mike Atwood, and Harold Summers. Plan is to Mike Atwood's going to go through Philippians, Randy's going to go through dispensations, and Harold is going to speak on evangelism. The next few pictures are some of the fun we've had, different activities. Just going to, probably without comment, go through them. Be careful, you don't want to mess with these ladies when you come up there. They may be hiding behind any kind of bush or... I will make mention of the horse program. You see the horse there and the buck and bronco. We have something called on the overnight camps Western Wednesdays. And what it is Christians that own horses, they give to the Lord. By donating their time and their horses so that everyone has a chance to ride a horse and do fun activities. So that's really special. Some of the upcoming projects, really want to focus on improving the camp activities to make the camp more fun for the children. And then they invite their friends to come back. And this is the playground that we're now. And I'd like to improve that. It'd be nice to have a place where the kids can go play without, like, really supervision, and just a lot of the activities require staff, and so it'd be nice to do something there. I don't know what that exactly is yet, but upper bunkhouses. This is a project that's happening now. It started. My father-in-law Grant is leading the project. Grant's been more of a project leader now, and. It's because that's what he's been doing. He's very skilled at that. So upper bunkhouses. And so this is something that, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, I hope not, that you can help with. If you have time in the next 4 weeks, there's something called the Fellowship of Christian Camp. Are you familiar with that? Imidine's a part of it. And I think through your involvement at Imidine, you might be able to represent Imidine to come to the FCC Work Week, which they're having at Morningstar. So they've donated thousands of dollars for the upper bunkhouse project. So I think they raised $6,500. And what they're doing is, if you They say if you're representing a camp, that you can have all your travel expenses covered through the FCC. If you come and we're providing all the meals for that whole work week. So the FCC work week, that's April 9th to 13th. We just finalized those dates. However, in order to prepare for that work week, we need to have a work month so that the whole is all organized. We want this thing running smoothly. And so Grant's under kind of a lot of pressure to get a certain amount done so that when the work party comes, it's just really efficient. All the supplies are there. And so if you have any time in the next 4 weeks to help prepare for the big work week, any help is appreciated. I've been calling around. I've been asking everybody if they can come to help Grant out. Basically, what he wants to do is he wants to dismantle and move a cabin, build the foundation, and then move it back and have that all done before the work week comes. Plus, there's other odds and ends. Renovate the main kitchen. That's kind of on the back burner. And install RV site in the chalet area. Ways you can help, volunteer, get involved. You can, there's, like I say, as the king said to Israel, anyone that wants to volunteer may go, as long as you don't have a criminal record or any other hindrance that would prevent you from coming. Like, if you want to come and help, you're involved as much as you want to be. You help cover sponsorship costs, because we always say that if someone can't afford it, come anyway. And just how much can you afford? Maybe they can give half or something. Could support a DPT volunteer. DTP. That means that's there because a lot of the 14, 18-year-olds, they're enticed to get jobs instead of come serve the Lord at camp. And so some of the people may come for 2 weeks, but some of them might want to come for the whole summer. And so what's really handy is their local church to help them out financially. I don't know what the number is, but if they get a little bit of financial help from their local meeting to come for the summer, then that helps. And lend a hand in the project. 2018 outreach opportunities and events. We had the skating rink. It was build relationships with people. We're doing a little mini work week the second week of spring break. And week of prayer, end of April, and then the other work week, the FCC work week's in there too, so we're just extremely busy. The parades and booths, there's the May Days parade, children's festivals we want to be involved in, homeschool conference, Canada Day weekend. Ways you can help, salvation of souls, the most important. When I present the gospel, invite them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and encourage unity and spiritual growth. The pray for speakers. There's still a need for a girls camp speaker. If you know anybody that's really gifted at speaking to children, girls, please come talk to us. Like, we'd love to. That's a need. And as mentioned, Family Camp 1 and all the day camps, I really haven't had a solid commitment from anybody for the day camps to direct. This is my wish list. Kubota, zero turn. Aim for the stars, you might get to the moon. So this is the stars right here. This would be really helpful. This would be fun. They have this down at Turkey Hill Bible Ranch. And aqua climb for the pool. So I think to set that up at camp, it's 14,000. So and yeah, actually for the pool with the environmental health officer and everything, you actually can't homemade one. Like, you can't get away with that. You actually have to get the proper one. But anyways, throw that out there. You never know. If you know anybody or has a zero turn or wants to, just it's in there. And then a low ropes course. That's probably more, we're going to do that sooner than later. And that shouldn't be too big of a deal there. So, and to wrap it up here, just to mention who's there. Andy Billingham is our maintenance, general maintenance. Greg and Sandy McAllister, they just spent their winter with Arvix, which is a really cool organization. They motorhome. They have motorhomes and they go to camps and they do work projects. at camps, and so they're coming back to serve the Lord. He does groundskeeping. Sandy's in the kitchen quite a bit. They're serving the Lord there. It's great. Love to have them there. As mentioned, Grant and Shelley, my in-laws, and hard not to tear up when I speak about Grant, because just really, you know, it says, like Paul says to Timothy, "Is no one like-minded who will naturally care for the things of the Lord, and like all seek their own interests, not the things that are Christ Jesus." And he's a real servant to me. It's amazing that my father-in-law would really do that. And just like, what do you have me to do next? Like, what's next? And just real workhorse. And again, project leading, and this would be impossible to, without their support to be there. Cody and Kendra leads as activities and program development. And then ourselves to oversee the whole operation to promote camp. I pray for us. You know the old saying, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And like, I'm just learning so much, and God is doing a mighty work. And it's not that I know what I'm doing, but everything does, everything, there's so many people involved, and I'm just, there's so much help I need. And it's just the Lord doing it all. Thank you for praying for us. And the, one of the verse that brought us to camp and keeps us going is Matthew 6:33. Is to just new life more and more. To seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of His and kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father in heaven, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for them. I know it says that in the Bible that as for the saints that are in the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. We're thankful that you're reflected in each one in different ways. And I just pray your blessing on your work here. And the word would find good ground, and that we would trust you more and more. So we just ask your blessing in the name of Lord Jesus.